Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
I was best friends with one of them, and the other one I just...
I've been a law-abiding citizen ever since I grew up in the Bronx.
So when those, to me, dumb rumors come up, that you...
Oh, I thought she was a remarkably strong woman. She went through a lot of really hard things in her life and showed such strength and wisdom throughout all of that.
Chicken breath.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Coming up tonight, a Seattle mother tries to get the book Brave New World banned. That's how smart we're getting. Now we want to ban bona fide classics. A controversial wrestling move is at the center of a legal fight in California called the butt drag. Not the name of the town, the wrestling move. Plus, Elizabeth Edwards' funeral will be picketed by the Westboro Baptist Church. Marilyn Donnelly is the mother of a middle schooler here in California who has been contacted by police. This would make the second case of kids contacted by police for cyberbullying on Facebook. And we're going to talk to this woman. You probably heard the story in Bristol, Connecticut, of an 18-year-old who found a profile impersonating her. And she tracked down the people that were impersonating her and with the help of the police, got these people into some serious trouble. We're going to talk to Ms. Donnelly about her daughter and what happened to them. Her daughter was the object of police investigation. 877-876-PHIL, affiliate spotlight tonight in Chicago on WKRS, 1220 AM, and in Elko, Nevada, KZBI 94.5 FM. All great stations on the Phil Hendry Radio Network and stations that get it, and we appreciate it. Go to philhendryshow.com for live streaming video of our show, thousands of hours of archives, and starting this weekend, our merchandise store open to sell our line of classic best-of CDs from years gone by. And again, that'll be happening this weekend. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and I wanted to get to Marilyn Donnelly here on the phone because... you know, her daughter, Jamie, is a 13-year-old and was a Facebooker like everybody else. Marilyn, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
And your daughter was on Facebook, but was not necessarily... I don't want to say that your daughter was bullying anybody. What I want to say is the following thing. You believe she was being bullied.
Oh, absolutely. We believe that she was being bullied by two women, two girls who were involved in the same volleyball, on-campus volleyball club that she was involved in. But these girls were not socializing in the same manner that my daughter Jamie was, and we found that curious. So we contacted the school to find out what exactly was the situation. Was my daughter being excluded?
And what was going on with these two girls who were members of the same volleyball team with your daughter that was not going on with your daughter?
Well, we found out that both of these girls are both the same body type. They're both overweight. My daughter carries extra weight. And yet these two girls are carrying this extra middle school baby fat, whatever you want to call it, were very popular and were... already beginning to talk to boys and were being asked to the dances at the school. This was not happening for my daughter. So we immediately called the school to find out what programs or other elements of the school might be affecting this. There was nothing. At that time, I told Jamie that I wasn't quite sure what was going on, but it did seem very strange that two young ladies who have the same challenges when it comes to weight, these two young ladies were very popular at school, and yet my daughter had yet to break through that secondary social ring, if you will.
What would you call that secondary social ring? Your daughter was in sports, right?
Yeah, she was on the middle school and the girls' volleyball team. But she had not yet been invited to their middle school. They have a small formal for the ninth graders, which is their snowball, and it's a very dress-down formal for the younger adolescents, but it is the first formal dance for the middle schoolers. And my daughter had not been asked to this dance yet, even though she is no less attractive or pretty or popular or personable than the other girls.
Well, you said popular. She's obviously not as popular.
She's not as popular, but there's no... There's no reason for that, you know.
All right. Well, Marilyn, let me get this so I understand. So your daughter was not as popular as these other girls, even though, and in the email you wrote us, even though you say she is, these two girls are just as fat as hers, as I think the way you put it.
Well, just as fat, just as heavy as Jamie. These two young ladies, just as heavy, were on the same volleyball team. Are not particularly attractive. In fact, I think physically they're less attractive than my daughter. And yet they are more popular with their classmates. They're more popular with the boys. They're more popular at the after volleyball tournament events, whether we're going for dinner or for a party that might be at someone's house. I'm not saying that my daughter is unpopular. She has a circle of friends, but they're mostly girls. Who are the same body type as her. These other girls are as heavy as my daughter, but they socialize with girls that are more slender. They also socialize with boys who are on the football team, and they're invited to these different events.
Dances?
Yeah, like dances and to the games and so forth.
All right, so your daughter, and our number 877-876-PHIL, as we talk to Marilyn Donnelly about her daughter Jamie at this middle school. You guys live in the, not in the South, but you live in Belmont Shores?
Yes. Well, Belmont Shores, mostly Long Beach. Our address is Long Beach. She goes to school in Belmont Shores.
All right. So your daughter then put up a Facebook profile for both of these girls, right?
Well, here is where it gets confused, because the school said that my daughter was bullying these girls. And I asked the school how it is possible for my daughter to be bullying these two girls when these girls are more popular than my daughter. They have more interest from boys. They have girlfriends who are of a much more slender body type than them. My daughter has friends, but they're all female and they are all overweight. So I said to the school, I don't see how this is how it's possible that you think my daughter's being that my daughter's bullying them.
And what did they say?
They came back with this Facebook page that they said that Jamie had created, and it was a creation of my daughter with two fictitious names that she put on these girls. I've been asked not to release those names.
All right, I understand that, but it was like these two girls were. She put these two girls' pictures on this Facebook page and made them out to be some kind of a lesbian couple?
Yes, that is correct. And I said to the school, you have to understand, this is not bullying. This is a satire of these girls.
All right, now you call that a satire. You call it what your daughter did to these two girls, who you say are more popular than your daughter, who you say have more friends, more male friends than your daughter, but it was your daughter who put this page up, and that's the interesting...
Well, it is, Phil. It's much different from what people have been led to believe is the reality on Facebook. Oftentimes, a young girl will put a page up to satirize others that are more popular, and they say she's bullying them.
Well, she did say that these two were lesbians, and she photoshopped them into some kind of leather teddies. And these are obviously not the bodies of these girls. These are the bodies of very obese women.
Yes.
And then she has the names of different, I don't know, dominatrixes or whatever that she found online, and she has pictures of animals. It's not obscene, but it borders on it, doesn't it?
No, I don't think it even comes close to being obscene. I think the figures are all fully clothed. I think what she does is
and there's a Farmville. Both of them are Farmville fans, so obviously there's this cow thing going on. I just noticed that.
Right. Again, it's a satirization of these two girls who decided to cut my daughter out of their circle of friends, which included some of the more popular boys in school. Cut my daughter out of their circle of friends, which included girls that are much more slender than my daughter or these two girls, because I have to stress, Bill, both of these girls are equally obese. So they are as large, if not larger, than my daughter. So my daughter was saying to me, she said, "Mother, how is it I am not as popular as them when both of them are much fatter than me, and yet they do have these friends? They are as obese, so what right do they have to be treated better than my daughter?" And that's what I said to the school.
You said that these girls are obese. What right do they have to be treated better than your daughter?
Well, yes. What right do the children of the school have to treat these two fat girls better than my daughter, who is also fat, but no fatter, and is as personable, is on the volleyball team, and I think has shown a great sense of humor with this Facebook page.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Marilyn Donnelly, her daughter Jamie, who goes to school in Belmont Shores, California. This is a middle school that she goes to. Was tracked down by school authorities, and the police got involved. Correct, Marilyn?
Well, the police got involved, but it was a complete waste of public resource, because I spoke to the police officers. I spoke to one of these detectives that was involved, and I don't think anything is going to come of it. I said to them that I really feel a counter suit is in order, because my daughter was not bullying anyone, and they brought up this cyberbullying law.
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. Your daughter wasn't bullying anyone, but she was, you say, mocking these two heavy girls, putting them in teddies, putting animals next to them in photographs, and did this whole Facebook page intimating that they're lesbians. And the entire Facebook page is to mock these two girls who are more popular.
Yes, again, I put the question to the administrators. I don't know what right these two fat girls have being more popular than my daughter.
All right, I understand that. 877-876-PHIL. What right those two girls have being more popular than her daughter when they're just as fat is basically what this woman is asking. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So the cyberbullying on Facebook takes another turn. You heard the story from Bristol, Connecticut. This one from California. This one having to do with a girl who is bullying two girls more popular than her, with more friends and, I don't know, a lot more going for him, it seems. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Marilyn Donnelly is the mother of Jamie Donnelly, a girl in a middle school down in Belmont Shores. We're talking about cyberbullying. Now, the story here on Facebook, and if you'll pardon me for just a moment, Ms. Donnelly, I wanted to give people a little bit of an idea of the one that was making national news. Facebook bullies charged after victim tracks them down. In this instance, this girl was bullied by some girls at school, and was indeed bullied by some girls at school. Her name was Allie Pfeiffer, 18 years of age. Allie Pfeiffer here talks to NBC about the types of mean things that were written on a phony Facebook page about her.
Under my interests, it includes Crisco, whales, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, dessert for dinner, breakfast, food in general, dessert, and eating. And under my favorite books, I don't know how to read. I've been bullied my entire life, but not to this extent. This is the worst it's ever been.
And here is Pfeiffer trying to explain why former classmates Sarah Johnson and Jeff Martoni would allegedly do this.
I was best friends with one of them, and the other one I had just gone to high school with.
Why do you think they'd want to do this to you?
The excuse that they had used was that they were bored and they wanted to see my humiliation.
Marilyn?
That is unbelievable that a young person in this terribly a well-to-do society of ours, a comfortable society. The children are so bored that they do that to each other. But that is what is happening to my daughter. My daughter has been excluded from all of the popular events and all of the popular functions that these other children are involved in by two girls who are equally as physically unappealing as her.
Yes, but it's your daughter that has made the Facebook page, right?
It is my daughter that did a satirization of the bullying that she's being put through. In other words, my daughter was not bullied by a Facebook page. My daughter put the Facebook page up and alleges in this Facebook page that these two girls are lesbian, and alleges in the Facebook page that these two girls are as big as farm animals and all of the things the children do. But these two girls have the interest of cute boys and the friendship of slender girls. And they're not only on the volleyball team, but they've been invited to the snowball dance. My daughter has not. And yet they are almost fatter than my daughter.
And because they're fatter than your daughter, this is what you find to be
This to me, Phil, is the unfairness of it, yes, the inequity of it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here, talking to Marilyn Donnelly about, I think it's funny, you're saying your daughter is bullied. I don't really quite hear where she's being bullied. I'm hearing you say that your daughter's unhappy, you know.
Well, I don't know what else you would want me to tell you. She has, here is another example of what I'm talking about. When she sits and eats her lunch, she is essentially eating with other overweight girls. When these other two girls are eating their lunches, they are surrounded by their friends who are, for the most part, every kind of body type. So they don't look as fat as they really are. My daughter, because she sits with other fat girls, looks to be at least as large as those girls, if not larger. So this is a kind of bullying that the school could certainly do something about if they force these children to sit separately.
And well, you call it bullying because the kids are sitting with each other eating lunch. Are they doing it on purpose?
Well, they most certainly are doing it on purpose. They know that they're excluding my daughter from their circle of friends, and that by sitting with these slender girls, the optical illusion is that they are physically smaller themselves.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Ken in Chicago. I think we need to go remote. Hi, Ken. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Marilyn Donnelly. Go ahead, please.
Well, it's not that you and your daughter have personality issues. And it's not a matter of whether or not, a weight issue like you're trying to make out. But it boils down to whether or not the children want to be bothered with your daughter or not. And if she's going to make Facebook pages in that sense, then that tells me how diminished she can actually get. And there's a serious problem that you need to start.
My daughter is being my daughter's being bullied by these children by sitting with girls that are skinnier. You understand? They make my daughter look fatter by sitting with the fat girls, and they do it on purpose.
But perhaps that's your issue and not the other children's issue. That's what you're missing. That's your issue.
I don't understand how that's my issue. My daughter has told me that they will not sit with her at lunch, which means only the overweight girls will sit with her. So naturally, you see a ring of very fat girls. The other two girls sit with the slender, the cheerleader girls, and the boys. So their body type, by perception, is smaller.
You keep emphasizing her weight. Perhaps that's what she's focusing on because that's what you're focusing on. And you need to focus on what's going on with her personality opposed to how heavy she is.
What about that, Marilyn? It's a good point. Her personality.
Her personality is as acceptable as she is a very lovely girl. She is, everyone likes her. There isn't, when you talk about that kind of body type, when you talk about the physical size of a young lady, you're getting further and further away from a discussion of personality. It really is about body size. And
how do you determine what's acceptable and what's not acceptable?
I simply asked this question. How can two girls who are as fat as my daughter, why did they get to be popular and not my daughter? They're just as fat.
Well, this man mentioned the personality issue, which I think is a good question. Ken, thank you so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Ms. Donnelly's daughter, Jamie, in Belmont Shores is bullying two girls, but she says she's the one that's being bullied.
Phil Hendry.
Not bullying two.
She's being bullied. I understand.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, what I'm trying to determine here. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Facebook bullies, that's what we're talking about. Facebook bullies in Connecticut and Facebook bullies in California. Tonight we're speaking to Marilyn Donnelly. Her daughter, Jamie, was spoken to by school authorities and the police for bullying. Online bullying, even though she feels she's the bully. And I understand, Marilyn, that's how you feel. And I want to take that very, very seriously here. But you understand that people might have a hard time digesting this because your daughter is a single person bullying two people who are popular. But again, you're saying that she's being bullied.
Well, I've given you examples of how she was left. I don't think I brought up when she was left at the... at the volleyball dinner, they just left her in the parking lot with no ride home. She had to call me. This is a hateful thing to do.
But is there a reason why?
Well, was there a reason why? My daughter is a teenage girl, and she will do what teenage girls do. And
well, what if you can tell me, what did they leave her, just to be cruel?
Yes, just to be cruel. Just to be cruel. She didn't do anything that any other teenage girl wouldn't do. And it was in the parking lot over at the San Anita Mall where they were having their volleyball dinner.
And they just up and left her.
They left her at 10 o'clock at night, and she had to call me on her cell phone and have me come and pick her up. And I said to the school, I cannot believe the hateful way that these girls behaved.
Can you tell me what she did?
What did she do? She did something that any girl, any teenager, she... It was a prank, I think, in someone's car. And the girls all had their cars there, and I think she went to the bathroom in one of the cars, which I understand...
She went to the toilet in one of the cars.
Mr. Hendry, before you express your shock, you're a young man, you were a young man at one time. Are you saying that young men and young women don't do these things?
I absolutely do know that young men and young women, I don't know about young women, I mean, but in someone's car, you know.
She told me that this was something that's normal. She defecated in one of the cars.
See, I think that needs looking into.
No one is going to call my daughter crazy. No one is going to call my daughter crazy. I've loved that child. Her father has been gone since she was 5 years old.
I don't doubt that at all, and I'm sure that you have done everything in your power to protect and to love that child. She defecated in someone's car.
Mr. Hendry, I have a brother who got great sport and had great fun. He and his friends would urinate into beer cans in the car and then throw them out the window.
Well, that's a stunt that it's in the car and you're throwing it out the window to defecate in someone's car.
Well, I don't know what book you look at to determine what is normal behavior when it comes to this, but she didn't do anything that another young woman wouldn't have done in her place. And they left her there.
She defecated in someone's car and they left her, and I am telling you that I don't think that is necessarily... Although I don't know...
It's a completely different generation. You have to understand. Completely different. They're goth. They have different cultural attributes, different trends. Things that you and I might not think were acceptable are acceptable now.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Marilyn Donnelly. So here's a child. She is 13. She is at this school. You say she's overweight, but no more overweight than these other girls that are very popular. And she feels she's bullied by them because she's not invited to partake of their social group. Let's go to Lori in Chico, California, listening on KZAP. Go ahead, Lori. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes. First off, I want to say that defecating in other people's cars are not what every normal young girl is out there doing nowadays. I have
Can I
eight
ask
cases.
Your qualification?
Excuse
Can
me?
I ask your qualification? May I ask your qualifications to say that?
I'm an aunt, and I have eight nieces all under the age of 20. All around your daughter's age.
It's
and
a
I
different
can tell you,
generation.
They're not out. They are not out defecating in other people's cars.
It's a different generation is what I was trying to tell Mr. Hendry.
Well, are you trying to tell me that somehow this is a fad that kids today are into?
I don't know. I know that it is a different generation, and I'm not so egotistical to think that children today are enamored of or interested in the same things we were.
Well, personally, ma'am, I really do think that you ought to be worried more about more important things than whether your daughter is popular in school or not.
Such as?
Like about her, you know, how her own self-worth, how she feels about herself. I mean, I'm sorry, but I really don't think that your daughter has a very good frame of mind if she is out defecating in other girls' cars.
It's not, I don't think it's healthy.
I want to go through this again because Mr. Hendry, it was that you were a young man once, Mr. Hendry, and you know that young men urinate on people's lawns, urinate on the sides of houses.
There's no question that as young men, that's what we do. It's a complete, it's not, first of all, as young men, you know, we have a slightly different equipment. So for us, it's a ha-ha, you know, spelling your name on someone's lawn. Great. For a girl or even a boy to defecate, that becomes...
And where did you get your psychology degree again, Mr. Hendry?
I do not have a degree in psychology.
That's what I thought.
I don't
that's
either, but I'm sorry, that's just
that's
not...
Well, I know that.
That's
know
not
that.
A normal frame of mind to be doing.
Do you think it's normal to be fat
During your
and
generation,
popular?
Were there girls out there defecating in cars? What would
needed
you have
to go, If we needed to go...
Well, you didn't go in someone's car, did you?
You would ask the boy to pull over, and you'd go behind a tree.
Exactly, but you didn't do it in the car.
Well, I don't know. But if someone were to say to me I couldn't hold it, and I defecated in my boyfriend's car... How dare you?
I'm sorry.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm sorry.
You know, we're talking about a young woman's life, and the police were involved...
I'm sorry, Ms. Donner. I'm sorry. Okay?
The police came to my home and asked my daughter, was she bullying two girls who have more friends than her? How is that possible to be that fat and that happy?
Well, you know what,
That's
ma'am?
Why
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I was taught that you lead by example, that parents are
right.
to lead by example.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but I don't feel you're setting a very good example for your daughter because I feel in a way you're bullying these girls yourself.
No, I have not spoken to these girls. You'll notice I haven't mentioned their names, and I can assure
you're
you.
You're on national radio talking about them.
Well, no one knows who they are. I've mentioned their names. I haven't even mentioned the name of the school. And I certainly haven't come on here saying, oh, yes, when I was a young lady, I defecated in my boyfriend's car.
No, you did not. But
you know
what? You are blaming and labeling these girls as overweight. All I've heard out of your mouth is these overweight fat girls. And why are they more popular than my daughter?
Exactly. That's a question that deserves an answer, and neither you or Mr. Hendry have addressed it. How can you be that fat and be that popular?
Marilyn, is that your name?
My name is Marilyn, yes.
I'm sorry. I'm asking Marilyn her name. I forgot her name. Marilyn, if you how can you be that fat and that popular? There are people, all kinds of people in this world, and all kinds of reasons why we love them or are attracted to them or make them our friends. Look, Lori, thank you for your call. I got to move on. 877-876-PHIL. That lady, though, was the, as she said, she is an aunt with quite a number of nieces. Sally in Kennewick, Washington, listening on KFLD. Go ahead, Sally. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I guess I'm just surprised that you think... Pardon me?
I'm sorry. I was asking for some water. I was asking my brother for some water, please.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm just kind of surprised that you think that it's okay. Because it doesn't matter what weight you're at. If you're nice, people will like you. It has nothing to do with the weight. So maybe your daughter just isn't nice, like defecating in someone's car.
I have already discussed that, and I've told you that that is a childhood or school prank that is not necessarily indicative of hate or anything. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, no, because if your daughter is not popular, and you said she defecated in someone's car...
Well, why does she have other friends who... She has friends. She's got a circle of female friends, and they're all overweight. These two girls have overweight and skinny friends. Why?
But, you know, this issue isn't about being overweight.
Yeah,
it's about whether
you're
nice.
Answer. You can't answer. Well, wait a minute. Are you saying that if you're nice, if you don't defecate in your boyfriend's car, you'll have skinny girlfriends?
No, that's not what anybody's saying. These two girls that you call fat and how can you be pop, they have all kinds of friends, Ms. Donnelly. They have boys, they have girls, they have heavy girls, they have slender girls, they go to the dance, they also play volleyball. These are children who have a wide variety of friends. You keep, just as the caller said, the person keeps focusing on how can you be that fat and be that popular? You will not address the fact that your daughter defecated in someone's car.
Mr. Henry, forgive me.
Oh, God.
Excuse me?
What is this conversation? Is this a conversation you have at dinner time with your daughter?
About what?
About this whole thing. Now we're talking about your boyfriend.
You still haven't answered the germane question. How is it you can be that fat and that lucky?
Oh,
no answer.
Wow.
Dead silence. Dead silence. Dead
no,
silence.
That isn't dead silence. Silence would be shocked that you would even come across with that stuff.
Are you telling me, are you sitting there and are you seriously telling me you've never had an experience like that?
Don't even answer that question.
Don't, Mr. Henry, don't direct that woman's answers. I want to know.
I don't want to talk about that, if you don't mind. I don't want that on my airwaves.
Would you please answer the question?
No, we're not going there.
I won't go there.
Okay, so that means it did happen, but you don't want to talk about it.
No.
All right, thank you very...
No, that's what happened.
No, thank you very, very much. 877-876-PHIL. You're going from your daughter with a prank, and all of a sudden you got a boyfriend, and you're asking people about it. There's a preoccupation here that I don't think is very healthy.
Are you Dr. Ruth, or are you the people that...
No, I'm not Dr. Ruth.
So are you the Kinsey? Are you Kinsey? You're not Kinsey, you're not Dr. Ruth. So how do you know what two consenting adults do in a bedroom? Or what one consenting adult does on a bucket seat? And
one consenting adult?
Yes. My daughter consented to herself to do that.
On a bucket seat?
I believe she told me it was on a bucket seat, yes.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We have gone far afield of the discussion here, and the discussion is Facebook and bullies, and did her daughter indeed bully two girls? They're more popular. They have more friends. It's sort of a twist or a flip on the usual, but that's what she's being accused of. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, you're such a child.
God.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back. Number is 877-876-PHIL. Marilyn Donnelly is on the line with us from Belmont Shores, California. Her daughter, Jamie Donnelly, was spoken to by the police, a question of whether or not there was some cyberbullying going on. The reason why this story is interesting to us, and we will take a little time just to explain, is because her daughter, Jamie, is a single 13-year-old accused of bullying two other 13-year-olds. Who are, you know, two girls, not one, and they are popular girls. They have a lot of friends. They have a large group of people that associate with them. And your daughter is just one girl with maybe four or five friends. So, you know, you're saying that these two people are bullying her, which I think probably would make more sense. And yet everything you're saying to me, Marilyn, it sounds like your daughter is, in fact, bullying these two girls, calling them lesbians and saying that they are both farm animals. And every other kind of thing.
Well, thank you, because I think that's the very first fair thing you've said, Mr. Hendry, and I apologize.
I don't think so.
It is very much so. I have been near tears listening to you trying to psychoanalyze my daughter, questioning what would be teenage pranks in any other arena, in any other venue, but you have chosen to make them the staple of some illness, some psychological illness. I don't know what you did as a young man, but a great many pranks had to do with putting dog feces in a bag and lighting it on fire. That oftentimes was not the case. It was something that a girlfriend left in a bag, and you'd light it on fire. And I can remember...
No, I don't... Again, you're trying to make it sound like it's normal.
Well, you are characterizing my daughter, a girl who is fat and unpopular. That's normal. It is not normal for these two other girls to be fat and popular. That is abnormal. And you call my daughter abnormal simply because of what she did, which I don't blame her, to be honest with you. All she has, Mr. Hendry, to defend herself... is something as base and, yes, as sickening as that. But all she has to defend herself is her ability to defecate in the backseat of someone's car. If that's all she has to use that.
I don't understand that at all. I don't...
Well, Mr. Hanson...
No, I don't understand that line of thinking at all. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Brandy. Go ahead, Brandy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Marilyn Donnelly.
Yes, you said earlier that it started by her friends sitting at the lunch table and they wouldn't sit with her, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
That is correct, yes.
She's a teenage girl. Teenage girls do that. I'm 25, so I haven't been out of high school long, you know, I mean, well, long, but not too terribly long. And that's just what girls do. Girls in middle school and high school are mean. One day they're friends with you, one day they're not. That's just the way it happens. What it sounds to me like is your daughter, by defecating in her friend's car and pulling other stunts like that, she's ostracized her friends. If my son came home and told me that somebody had done something to him like that, as a parent, I would tell him, you do not need to be friends with that person.
It would sound a little...
It would sound what? You, Mr. Henry, you and your listeners have characterized my daughter as a mental case. And I would hasten to add to this young woman. First of all, my daughter is an overweight young lady. There's no question. These two girls she is alleged to have bullied are also equally as heavy, if not heavier. How come they have all the friends and she doesn't?
Because they're not defecating
Explain
in the backseat of someone's car.
How do you know that? You don't know that. We don't know that.
Well, I think we can deduce. You said that...
No, we can't deduce.
You said that the girls left her standing in the parking lot after she defecated in someone's car.
Yes, but that is a normal thing for a teenage girl to do.
And well, what other girls in the... You know, I...
Brandy, you say you're not far removed from high school. You saw that, didn't you?
No, I didn't. No, and if somebody would have defecated in my car, I would have left them out in the parking lot, too, and I wouldn't sit with them at lunch. That is not good. That is not. And if she's telling you that's normal, your daughter is in trouble. Do you honestly think she's going to tell you? Do you honestly think she's going to tell you, oh, no, Mom, nobody does that? you're listening to your daughter tell you that that's normal when she's in trouble and she did something, you as a parent should know that you can't take her word on that. You just can't.
My daughter said that it is a holdover from the goth days, that a lot of kids today wanted to go retro goth, and that defecating in someone's car is goth.
Goth?
That's
Are
not
you kidding?
Goth.
How is that goth?
It's a rebellious statement. It's very, very different. And I would say this. I think that you perhaps were, and maybe myself, I wasn't quite connected. I don't want to believe that my daughter needs to be put in a straitjacket. You think that's what she needs?
Not a straitjacket, no.
No. I just think you need to look behind what is causing her to act out this way. Maybe it is a little bit of jealousy, that not so much that her friends are more popular than her, but maybe just because her friends have new friends and she has animosity towards that.
That's right. But her friends are, I am not kidding you, Brandy, they are huge.
That doesn't characterize somebody. Weight has nothing.
I mean, they are huge.
Weight has nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do, please. Please. You know, as a young lady, these two girls are enormous. I mean, morbidly obese, and yet they are the life of the party.
All right, well, I wish I'd keep talking about this. Brandy, we got to go, and I appreciate your call, Marilyn. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, we have someone.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Well, they have to have that. They're propagandists.
Discrimination has never served America very well. When it applies to those who serve...
Come on with me.
I have to tell you that most everybody thinks that it's over with the institution.
You blew it!
That is a threat.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Man, through the looking glass we go and beyond. We go to where talk shows, most of them don't want to go, can't go, even if they wanted to. Sometimes they think, I'd like to do what Phil does. We can't. 877-876-PHIL. I got to turn off the fan here. Excuse me. We have a guest coming up. Professor Emery Clayton will be joining us in a moment from L.A. Canyon College to talk about Oprah Winfrey and the effect that she has had on mass media, the new network, and the bigger question, not a question, but to comment on her recent statements to Barbara Walters. She's not a lesbian, and I don't know who it was we had on the program making statements to the contrary, but we'll talk about it with Professor Emery Clayton. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and also Helen Thomas hates Jews still, so that's something that we should definitely, you know, keep on the front burner, whatever. All right, so what we have, by the way, our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, live streaming video of the show right now, so go over and take a look and see what it is we're doing. On our video, Professor Clayton, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm very good, and I appreciate very much the opportunity.
And thank you for joining us. And I understand you're in transit from school?
Yes, with a late night tonight. But this is Thursday night, and I have one late class. I have a Thursday night class, and then I was covering for a colleague as well this evening. So it is a late evening driving home, yeah.
All right. Professor Clayton, Oprah Winfrey stated to Barbara Walters that I'm not even kind of a lesbian. The rumors have been around for years, but Oprah Winfrey has once again stated flatly, I'm not a lesbian. She talked to Barbara Walters in an upcoming interview for ABC. She insists if she were a lesbian, she wouldn't hide it, because on her daily show, her daily talk show, she doesn't hide anything about her life. Now, I want to get your comments, but I want to play for you the comments of Oprah Winfrey as she was talking to Barbara Walters about her life and about her boy. She also was mentioning her boyfriend or her man friend, Stedman, Stedman Graham.
Ooh, okay. She is the mother I never had. She is the sister everybody would want. She is the friend that everybody deserves. I don't know a better person. I don't know a better person.
Why is it making you cry?
Shoot, wasn't going to cry here.
I don't know. Who is she speaking of?
It's making me cry because I'm thinking about...
She's talking about Gayle King. I'm sorry.
How much...
She's talking about
I probably
friend,
never
King.
Told yes. her that.
Here is where,
tissue,
I'll tell you what,
please,
here is where
I
she addresses
tissue.
The question about being a lesbian.
So when those, to me, dumb rumors come up,
mm-hmm.
that you are gay,
this is
a
lesbian question.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
What do you say?
Well, I have said
I'll talk after the comment.
We are
yes,
not gay enough times. I'm not lesbian. I'm not even kind of lesbian. And the reason why it irritates me is because it means that somebody must think I'm lying. That's number one. Number two, why would you want to hide it? That is not the way I run my life.
All right, now here she talks about her relationship with Stedman Gray.
Can you lie with me?
That's the 911 call. Excuse me. Here she talks about Stedman.
I have to tell you that most everybody...
That was the 911 call of the man who lost his
tongue. This is a shock to me, Barbara. This is a shock to me.
I'm shocked.
You're shocked.
Yeah, because I didn't know that it was still on.
You're kidding me.
I thought he was just a sort of nice friend you see now and then. Is he still the man in your life?
Yes, he is.
The love of your life?
The
lover in your life?
The love, the lover, the man, the partner, the mate. I do not know of another man on this planet who could have lived this life with such dignity, with such grace, and such respect.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got some things confused there.
Yeah, she was speaking about that last selection there, Phil. That was her talking about Stedman Graham.
Yes, that's the gentleman that she's been engaged to since 1992. So what do you think? All of these comments, you teach a class in media and urban media. What do you think?
Well, I think is what has been fact, because I try to deal in fact, Bill. I try to deal in truth, and I hope that I've made that impression from time to time, talking on your program, on your very worthy program, and I deal in fact, and here is a fact. Oprah Winfrey is not a lesbian. Oprah Winfrey is a heterosexual woman who has a relationship with a very supportive man. And the lesbian rumors promulgated by a white press. And
well, now, you know.
Hold on. You want my opinion? I'm going to give you my opinion.
All right.
This idea that Oprah Winfrey is a lesbian is a hateful thought to black women. That's not because we are homophobic or because we don't appreciate homosexual people, but it is a hateful thought to a black woman to be mistaken for a lesbian, because that thought means that you're not a woman. You're less than a woman.
Well, do you think that's true?
Now, hold on. I'm not finished yet. I'll give you my opinion on whether I think it's true or not, but what I'm trying to tell you is that this was a slander that was promulgated by the white media to make Oprah Winfrey look less of a woman and more of a freak, you see. And that's the point I'm trying to make to you. I'm not here to debate whether or not being a lesbian is right or wrong. I'm here to say of what the effect of this rumor has been on Oprah Winfrey, a rumor that was started by many of in the white press. And I would also say that part of that was Barbara Walters herself.
Well, Barbara, when did Barbara Walters ever offer that Oprah Winfrey's a lesbian?
I don't know that Barbara Walters, when she thinks about Oprah Winfrey, which I'm sure isn't all that much, because Oprah Winfrey, quite frankly, the idea that Barbara Walters is interviewing Oprah Winfrey is highly appropriate, because Oprah Winfrey, I don't think she'd ever have Barbara Walters on her show, given the fact that Walters may very well be the source of this rumor about Oprah Winfrey being a man-eating lesbian.
And where do you get that?
I will tell. Hold the phone, Phil, because there's an awful lot. You've got a lot of questions, and you want me to answer them.
All right. Well, then you hold on, because I got to give our phone number out. It's 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Professor Emory Clayton of L.A. Canyon College. who, among other classes, teaches a class in urban media, and we're talking about Oprah Winfrey. Now, Professor Clayton, I just was curious, you know, if you don't want to tell me, you know.
I want to tell you everything, but I want to be able to make my statement before you're asking me a lot of questions here. You know,
well, I'm asking you, you say that Barbara Walters is the source.
I said she might be. I said I would not be surprised if she was one of the sources for the rumor that Oprah Winfrey isn't just a lesbian, but she is a man-eater. Now,
What is the difference?
The difference is that she's not just a lesbian in the lipstick lesbian variety, but that the white media has tried to make Oprah Winfrey look like a man. And you know, because you've heard these comics and comedians and so forth will say that Oprah Winfrey looks like a man. I've heard them say this. I've heard them insult this woman. Talking about looking like a man. And so, if you ask me, Barbara Walters, if you scrub the makeup off of Barbara Walters, I wouldn't know what gender that is.
And why are we insulting Barbara Walters?
Because I believe Barbara Walters is the source of that man-eater rumor that's been going around about Oprah Winfrey. Now, let's forget about whether Oprah Winfrey's a lesbian. The white media has picked up on that, and they have run with that, that Oprah Winfrey's a lesbian. But the idea that Oprah Winfrey is a man...
You're not talking literally.
No, I'm not talking literally, but I'm saying the idea that Oprah Winfrey is so unattractive that if she doesn't wear makeup, she looks like a man. Now, I don't know who started that, but again, my suspicions are that it was started by Barbara Walters, and I'll tell you why, because Oprah Winfrey blew her doors off in terms of her influence in the media, and secondly, as I said, if you scrubbed the makeup off of Barbara Walters, you wouldn't know what you had, and I mean that very, very literally. I think what they've done to Oprah Winfrey is a slander. And the white media is making a concerted effort to bring down Oprah Winfrey. They don't like an influential, independent black woman. And they don't...
Wait. Hold on for just a minute.
They don't like an influential...
No, hold on for just a minute. Oprah Winfrey is one of the wealthiest Americans. She has influence far beyond anything I'm sure she ever thought. I think she has influence far beyond any media personality that I've ever heard of. She has... She's starting her own television network. She has done things above and beyond any what you would expect of any TV. The only person I can compare her to is the late Merv Griffin. Okay.
Well, I think that's a worthy comparison, but I don't think, Phil, I don't think that this woman has even reached her potential, and the reason for that is a white media that wants her to be seen as a man-eater, some kind of a freak with the makeup scrubbed off. And I would hope, and I have not seen this, but I would hope that the female fans and supporters of Oprah Winfrey, who have benefited from this woman's advice, have benefited from the kinds of television programs that Oprah Winfrey has put on from time to time, whether it's about family, whether it's about children, whether it's about yourself and the enhancement of oneself and relationships and so forth, the kinds of programs that Oprah Winfrey did, and that women who benefited from this would stand up and be counted and say, I will not let this happen to Oprah Winfrey. I'm not going to let no white media drag this woman into the mud. You see, she's wealthy. You talked about her wealth. You talked about her being like Merv Griffin. And I think that's a worthy comparison, but she's wealthy despite the white media trying to destroy her. They hate her even more because she hadn't been destroyed by the white media machine, you know.
You know what, Professor?
No, don't you know what, Professor? You understand what I'm saying.
No, but I really think that this particular point, you're overreaching a little bit here.
You know, you make me laugh, Bill. You're a good man, but you don't know what you're talking about. You mean I'm overreaching? I'm telling you that this is a miracle, what's happened in this society, that Oprah Winfrey has gone from being some fat little fat black girl. You had a program on last hour. I was listening on my drive out from school. You were talking about fat little, a fat white girl. Oprah Winfrey was a fat little black girl. And you're going to tell me that you take a look at a fat little kid waddling down the street and say one day that kid's going to be bigger than U.S. Steel? I don't think so.
I don't know what people thought of Oprah Winfrey. I agree with you. I think what she's done is marvelous. I think it's the American story. I think that...
Well, it's the American story and plus a black woman, you know.
Come on, will you? Are you serious? You're looking at people in this country, even during the days of segregation, we had black millionaires. I'm not saying that this was a great country or is still a great country for black people, but give me a break. You're saying it's some kind of a miracle that people make money in this country?
I think it's a miracle that Oprah Winfrey's made money, given the fact they turned her into a man-eating bull dyke. And on top of that, you know, tried to drag her down in the press. So I think that's a miracle.
All right, Professor Emery Clayton, I got to, you know, he's always controversial. We'll be back with Professor Emery Clayton. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as he talks about Oprah Winfrey and that the lesbian rumors, nothing more than a white media trying to destroy Oprah Winfrey's career. And, you know, it's something they can't do. I mean, she is the immovable or the irresistible force, I guess. Oprah Winfrey, we talk about tonight with Professor Emery Clayton. 877-876-PHIL. Was it the white media? Was it Barbara Walters that started these rumors about her being a lesbian? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Lord have mercy.
This is the world-famous
right
Phil
here,
Hendry
yeah.
Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College, and we'll take your phone calls as well at 877-876-PHIL on Oprah Winfrey and the lesbian rumor, which you say, and I have to tell you, Professor Clayton, anybody that has heard you over the years on my show is probably sitting there, you know.
That sounds like typical Professor Emery Clayton.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you know something, Phil, if there's one thing I want to be, I want to be consistent. I don't want people to think. I want to be consistent. I want people to know what to expect from Professor Emery Clayton. But by the same token, I'm not some clown that comes out on a stage and said, here, let me give you my latest reason why white people this, that, the other thing. I don't hate white people. I'm just telling you. And there's no question in my mind that the white media and this Barbara Walters, I find that to be ghoulish, the way she sits down and interviews Oprah Winfrey like she cares, and meanwhile behind the scenes she's the one spreading this mess about Winfrey being a man-eater.
And where are you hearing this man-eater, this diesel dyke thing?
That's it.
Where are you hearing that Barbara Walters is spreading it?
I'm saying that makes perfect sense that Barbara Walters is spreading it.
So you don't have any information?
I've got information. I've got my own two eyes. My eyes. That's information.
877-876-PHIL. Here is a phone call from Allison in San Antonio tonight. Go ahead, Allison. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Clayton.
For one, he is so funny, I have to tell you. The question was, did he think Oprah Winfrey was
yes,
gay? And he's just gone off on racism. And it sounds like he's the biggest racism here, and he's not even backing up any of his facts. Now, about
how can
Oprah,
I be racism? I'm not racist. You mean I'm racist is what you're trying to say.
You listen to yourself. You're talking about white
media. Of course
white
I listen
media.
To myself. Of course I listen to myself. It is the white media. Let me ask you a question. How come Condoleezza Rice is supposed to be a lesbian? How come Whoopi Goldberg is supposed to be a lesbian? How come Oprah Winfrey is supposed to be a lesbian? And yet when I look at Rachel Ray, Paula Deen, Katie Couric, they're not lesbians. How'd that happen?
For one, they can be anything they want. If they want to be straight, if they want to be bi, if they want to be lesbian, it's a choice that they have the right to make. But I don't think people...
The white media made Condoleezza Rice a lesbian, and the white media made Whoopi Goldberg a lesbian.
You're saying just because if a person is a lesbian, it makes them a less of a person. You're talking like if a was a lesbian, then we're degrading them. But what, you know, we're talking about the whole world, and I don't think Oprah Winfrey was a lesbian, it's her choice, and she wouldn't lose people's respect.
Wait a minute. Who says she's a lesbian? She is. Now you believe she's a lesbian. See, you're buying into the white media. I'm just saying. I'm saying the white media is saying that Oprah Winfrey is a lesbian because she is a powerful black woman. The same way they say Condoleezza Rice is a lesbian. I don't think it's good or bad, but the white media thinks it's bad. That's why they're calling him that.
Condoleezza Rice.
Condoleezza Rice. You know, for a long time, the white media said, "What's with this Condoleezza Rice? She's got to be a lesbian." Same thing with Whoopi Goldberg.
Why not just say the media? The media.
Because it's the white media. Because it's the white media. Because that's who's doing it.
It's like, you know, you found an opportunity to use white as if it was a racist thing. And,
I found an example of it. I found an example of white racism where they're making Whoopi Goldberg or whatever her name is. Oprah. What's her name? Oprah Goldberg?
Yes, I've heard of.
Yes.
You know, you're a professor. Is this what you teach in your classroom about white media?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They take a powerful black woman, and they turn her into a man-eating dyke. And why? Because she's wealthy. That's why.
And I'm sorry, I'm the biggest racist on this right now.
Of course, you're going to call me a racist because you just lost the argument. I can understand that.
You're accusing Barbara Walters of spreading these rumors, and you have no facts to back it up. You don't speak.
I've got my sources.
What do you mean you have your sources?
I got a stinking hunch that Walters is behind all of it.
How do you know that?
Well, if I told you, then you or Allison here would run off and blather it around and claim it as your own. I ain't gonna let that happen.
Sources, sir, you don't.
Yeah. Well, listen, Allison, thank you for your call. We got to take a break here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Is it just a simple construction? Is it an invention of the white media to call Oprah Winfrey a lesbian to degrade her? That's Professor Emery Clayton's point here. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And our number is 877-876-PHIL. And welcome back here on this Thursday night with Professor Emery Clayton. We haven't had him on in a while. We'll be back with Professor Clayton as we talk about Oprah Winfrey. And Professor Clayton is a professor of urban media at L.A. Canyon College. We're talking about what he sees as a white media behind the rumors of Oprah Winfrey being a lesbian. And the fact that she's had to overcome quite a bit from the white media to get where she is. Just a quick reminder that PhilHendryShow.com is where you go for your backstage pass to watch live streaming video of the show that we're doing right now. You can watch us perform it by way of video. You can also access thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archived material. We have our news feed. We have email response for all of our backstage pass members. We have comments on our news feed from our backstage pass members. It's all there at PhilHendryShow.com. All right, Professor Clayton. So, Professor Clayton, we're back, and we're going to get some phone calls. I think where we left it is that you were talking about this media attack machine. Every black female is a lesbian.
Well, I think that is it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. As I said to that lady, and I don't know whether she wanted to hear me or not. She's a very nice lady. She's a white woman. She's not going to want to hear too much, of the truth.
That's not fair.
I think it's eminently fair.
No, it's not fair. She may be white, but that's not fair to say she doesn't want to hear the truth.
Well, I don't want to fool around with it. You know, look, we saw the white media attack machine on Tyra Banks. They called her fat. They went after Montel Williams, calling him a pothead. This man who was suffering from multiple sclerosis, calling him a pothead. They go after Oprah Winfrey, calling her a diesel dyke and a man-eater. And the white media stayed quiet, though, haven't they? They stayed quiet. And who are they staying quiet on? They're staying quiet on Glenn Beck and the accusation of rape and murder in this man's past.
That's absolute horse dung.
Oh, well, but they're staying quiet on it, aren't they? We ain't never going to know what it's true. Bill O'Reilly, who's a serial sexual harasser, Sean Hannity, in bed with these state companies, and on and on and on it goes. And if any one of them was a homosexual, you can forget about ever finding that out, because the white media is going to cover that up. You ain't never going to hear. If Glenn Beck is a Mary Jane, he a little Nelly, dancing around in a garter belt, you're never going to hear about that. If Bill O'Reilly, and so on and so forth, you'll never hear about that. But give them a little taste of Oprah Winfrey being a lesbian. Give them a little taste of what Barbara Walters is carrying around in her slime machine. And they all over that like white on rice. That's all I'm talking about, and that's why I say, if you go online, you can find websites dedicated to saying Shepard Smith is a homosexual. But the mainstream white media doesn't investigate that.
Well, all right. So what?
So what? Well, here's the problem. With an Oprah Winfrey being a homosexual, that's going to hurt her career. With Shepard Smith being a homosexual, that's probably going to ruin his career, because that man is on the Fox News. They don't have no, they're going to have no, what do you call, homosexual on Fox News. Ain't never going to happen. Ain't never going to happen.
Well, I don't know that that's true.
Have they got any homosexuals over there now?
I don't know. I just don't know that it's true to say that if there's a gay host there, that
What about that Brian Kilmeade? He's about as gay as...
I don't know, and I don't think it's fair to speculate. 877-876-PHIL with Professor Emery Clayton. Here is Tara on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Tara.
I was just going to say, you keep saying white media about everything. Have you thought about, like, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt? They get trashed every day. Tom Cruise, Katie, they get trashed every day. Is it the black media that's persecuting them? You know, and
you can give me examples of that. You're talking about examples. I don't hear anybody saying that Angelina Jolie is a lesbian or the Brad Pitt.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Kind of
Ellen DeGeneres.
Everybody knows she is a lesbian because she is a lesbian. I'm talking about people that are not, that they're trying to
say. What about Ricky Martin? Ricky Martin, he's white. You got Melissa Edwards.
Wait a minute. You don't understand the difference between what a gay person really is and somebody who isn't. Ricky Martin may be gay, and so is that Ellen DeGeneres. Is Brad Pitt? You want to call him a homosexual? I ain't heard anybody calling him a homosexual. Have you heard anybody call Angelina Jolie a homosexual? No. But I hear them calling Oprah Winfrey a homosexual.
I heard call Angelina Jolie a bisexual, yes. That has been a rumor.
But no,
that's
ain't the same thing.
Famous.
That ain't the same thing. That ain't the same thing as a homosexual. Man-eating dyke, no. No.
Well, hold on, Professor, okay?
Whether it's a rumor or not, I mean, if it's still a rumor, it doesn't matter.
Ma'am, you're saying all this stuff. It doesn't make any difference. They get trashed. All kinds of people get trashed, okay? But I'm talking about the real juicy stuff. I'm talking about the real juicy stuff when Glenn Beck, did he kill his mother or not? I ain't never going to find out because the white media protects him, you see.
No, he didn't kill his mother. That was a ridiculous, asinine rumor.
All right, then why don't they quash the lesbian rumor? Why? Because Barbara Walters wants to keep it going.
How can you say Barbara Walters is keeping it going? I mean, you have no proof of that.
I can tell by the way your voice sounds, miss, that you are halfway curious. You think I'm onto something. You're not convinced. You believe...
No, I think you're crazy is what I think.
No, you don't want to believe it. But you think, you've been listening to me, you think, you know, this Professor Clayton, I'm going to call
her. I don't believe Oprah's gay. I really don't care. I think it's ridiculous that it's even a big subject that she's gay or not. I mean, that's her personal preference.
Well, I agree.
But she's going to be put in the spotlight.
Wait a minute. Do you understand what you just said? She's not a homosexual, but you believe she is. You're just saying it doesn't make any difference. I'm telling you she's not, because she said she's not.
But you don't care. That's fine, but if you're famous like that, then rumors are spread like that. It's not necessarily the white.
That's true. I want to ask Tara, I want to ask you, do you believe Oprah Winfrey is straight or gay?
I believe she's straight.
Okay. I believe she's straight, too.
Oh, bull.
Well, why don't you believe it?
Because a minute ago, I heard Tara say, I don't care if Oprah's gay, I still like her, which is fine, but it ain't
the same. I don't care if she's gay. I don't care if she's gay.
See,
that matters to me.
You think she is gay?
No, she just said she doesn't think she's gay.
What about you?
I don't think she's gay either.
You're a lying.
Why do you call me a liar?
I like Oprah Winfrey.
Wait a minute. Last week on your show, you had on that woman who has that husband who has that mental disease. You remember the man, and he calls everybody her and him?
Frank Gray.
Yeah, and he said that Oprah Winfrey was as queer as a $3 bill. Excuse my language, miss.
Well, that man is crazy. Do you understand that he's crazy?
He swore up and down Oprah Winfrey was a dyke.
That may well be, but that guy doesn't have any information. I would believe Oprah Winfrey, and Oprah Winfrey says, no, she's not a lesbian, she's in love with her man, and that's that, and Tara gave the same answer, and you don't want to accept it. You want to believe that all of the white people are influenced by white media.
I'm not calling you an idiot, Phil.
Yes, you are. You're calling me an idiot and Tara, because you're saying, well, you guys are white, so you must be influenced by the white media. I never even thought about Oprah Winfrey. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Aha! So you did think she was gay.
I thought maybe at one time, yeah. But I'm glad she cleared it up. Tara, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. What are you, in a laboratory or something?
What?
Aha!
What I'm saying to you is you finally came up, you finally got it set. You finally got it set. It took you 45, what time is it? It took you 41 minutes, but you finally got it set. You finally said, yeah, I think she is a dyke.
No, I did not. If you're listening, you heard me say, at one time I had questions because it was kind of weird. She's been engaged to this cat.
By the way, that's another man, Stedman Graham. Look at how strong that man has been for that woman. And what do they call him? They call him PW. They call him a sissy. They call him little Nelly, little Mary Jane. They're calling him a woman. They call him mama's girl, you know. That's what he gets for being a good, strong man that supports his woman.
Okay, and I would agree that I think the man, but it was for me, it was, I don't get it, man. I don't get being engaged for 18 years. I don't get it.
Well, you don't get it. That doesn't make it wrong. And it also, you're white, so.
Yeah, okay, I'm white, so I don't get 18-year being engaged.
Black folks don't look at marriage the same way.
877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to another phone call. Eric? Eric, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Eric in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think for one second, I'm in Winston-Salem. That's where Stedman is from. They don't attack him because he's black. He's a common folk man. They attack anybody that is common with somebody that has money or with power. Look what they did to Princess Diana. Look at what they're doing to her son, fiance now, and number two.
What? What are you talking about?
Black,
what do you mean?
The black media, I mean, the white media is not attacking Oprah. It's the media itself that is attacking Oprah. This makes good entertainment. They're not attacking her because she's black. They're just attacking her because she has money and she has power. This is good entertainment.
Nobody's answered my question yet, you see. I brought up to that lady, I said, now look, you take Condoleezza Rice and Oprah Winfrey, there's always rumors about them being lesbian. You take Paula Deen and Rachel Ray, I don't ever hear nothing about them being a lesbian. Now, why is that? Condoleezza Rice is black.
The media attacks everyone with power and money. It makes good entertainment. Race has nothing to do with it.
How come Rachel Ray ain't no dyke? How come they're not calling Paula Deen a dyke? How come they ain't saying Katie Couric's a dyke? How come they don't say these white women a dyke? They say these black women a dyke.
Well, first of all, Katie Couric was married. I think Rachel Ray is married.
So what?
Neither Condoleezza Rice ain't married, and neither is Oprah Winfrey.
She's engaged to that good black man, Stedman, who's been called a little Mary Jane.
Let this man talk. Go ahead, Eric.
Look at Oprah's audience, for one. Oprah's audience has many, many white people in her audience. Number two,
I've seen
Oprah walk around with Stedman in Winston-Salem. Number three, this is just good entertainment
there?
By the media. It's not by the white media. It's media itself in general.
You,
they're not attacking black. they're attacking you brought up something. Money.
You just brought up something that I think bears repeating, because this has been my suspicion. I think a lot of those white people leave that audience and they go out and they start talking.
You're wrong.
That, you know, about the dyke. Oprah's
You're
a dyke
wrong.
And all this. That's
Oprah
what I think them white people do.
Oh, boy, that's...
She is today with people talking behind her back because she is black.
No, not because she's black. I think those white people leave and they say, you know, I think she's a dyke. And
oh, come on, man.
No,
she's got a huge fan base.
Well, she may have a huge fan base, but they still go out and talk about her like she's a man-eater.
How do you know that, man?
I'll tell you what people think about. I'll tell you what people think about. They wonder why Oprah's still with Stedman after what Stedman's done behind her back. That's what
exactly.
They think.
And you know what that conclusion is?
He's
a beard.
You're just on this whole racism boat thinking that, because they're asking her if she's gay or not, that everybody's racist.
In other words, if I ask a logical question, you say, oh, you're on a racism kick just because your question's illogical.
I got to take a break. Eric, I appreciate your call very much, though. Thank you. And he did ask some very good questions. We're going to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. And while the professor may have a point about Condoleezza Rice, perhaps, and Whoopi Goldberg, the fact remains that Oprah's audience isn't leaving the studio and going, boy, what a dyke. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Oprah Winfrey, the rumors of her being a lesbian, started by the white media or not? It's the Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yes is yes.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Back here with Professor Emery Clayton on the question of Oprah Winfrey and her sexuality. And she has said she's not a lesbian, and I believe her.
Well, yeah, but the fact, Phil, that she even had to answer that question, a question that she would not have had to answer had it not been for the fomenting, I think, of people like Barbara Walters. And let me tell you why I think it is Barbara Walters. Where did Oprah Winfrey debunk the idea that she's a homosexual? On the Barbara Walters show. So in other words, Barbara Walters has been guilty of this for many years. She'll spread a rumor about somebody being a fairy, you know, someone being... Because she travels in those circles, and she was very tight at one time with this man... Not my kind of music at all, but he's a man from England, and he was a gay.
Boy George?
Boy George, yeah. So she knows all about these kinds of people. And
well, you know, you're starting to sound a little bigoted right there.
In what way?
All these kinds of people. You know, you talk about wanting to progress the human rights agenda, Professor, but you sound real old school when you talk about gay people.
I'm not sounding old school.
Oh, wow, she's gay? Well, that's the worst thing you could possibly call somebody.
No, I'm trying to set some of these people straight that are calling your program who are saying, I don't care whether Oprah's gay or not. I'm trying to say, she's not gay. Now, let me ask you something. Larry King and Tom Likas, you know who these people are, right?
Larry King and Tom Likas, yeah.
They have been married multiple times. Now, to me, and the people, I think, who look at things in a discriminating way, to me... A multiple marrier like a king or a Likas, that is a, as far as I'm concerned, that is a big, big, big freeway sign that says I'm gay. Okay? Now, where the white media at? Where the white media at?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this, Professor.
No, where are the white media at?
No, I'll tell you this. They don't just jump on everything that you particularly think is of interest, you know.
Well, they may not jump on what I think is of interest, but Larry King and Tom Likas have been married multiple times. What is it with these guys? They can't have girlfriends? I think they're trying to show the world that they're not gay. So they go out and they marry. But the white media won't go near that. You want to know why? Because Larry King, he's got too much power. And he'd get a whole bunch of them fired. Now, I don't know what they're afraid of Likas. I don't know what they're afraid of with him. I really don't know. Unless it has something to do with, he promised them the first bottle of wine he's able to make on that vineyard he got sometime around the middle of the century.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. It is Keith in Greensboro, North Carolina. Keith, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Emery Clayton.
Hey, man, how you doing? I got to say, this guy that you have on the air, he's ridiculous. He is a racist. He's got to be one of the biggest racists I've ever heard. I am all for civil rights and equal, all about equality. But when you bring in, you know, the white media this and they don't attack the white people and all this stuff, and you're asking why they don't attack Rachel Ray and stuff, she's obviously not gay. She has a significant other. She's not gay. She's not a type as
well, Oprah Winfrey's got a significant other. Oprah Winfrey's got a boyfriend. Why'd they call her a homosexual if she got a boyfriend?
Who?
Oprah Winfrey.
What about Oprah Winfrey? Who cares if she's gay or not? It's not about
everybody.
If she's gay or not. She has done more to help your people, as you might like to call them.
You just use racism, propaganda about black people. Go ahead. Let me ask you something about. Have you ever seen the show Red Eye? Have you seen the show Red Eye?
Have I seen what?
Have you ever seen the show Red Eye? You know the show Red Eye on Fox News?
No, I haven't.
All right. The hosts of that show, Greg Gutfeld and Andy Levy and Bill Schultz, they all act like they're ex-boyfriends. Now, where the hell are white media talking about them? Where the investigation by Barbara...
Where's the black media talking about that?
Nobody, no black people watching that show. There's only white people watching that show. So I'm going to find out...
There's only black people watching Oprah Winfrey and that they're getting pissed because the white media is attacking her?
I'm trying to say that the only white people watch Red Eye. Only white people watch Red Eye, but black and white people watch Oprah. And the white people leave the Oprah show and they go, boy, did you get a load of that dyke tonight. And that
nobody
spreads around.
That. I've never once heard anybody talking about Montel Williams being a pothead or Oprah Winfrey being a dyke. I've never heard any of that. You're saying something about Tom Hanks was fat.
If you never heard it, sir, then how come Oprah Winfrey had to address these questions on the Barbara Walters show? See, you may not have heard it, but it's out there. It's out there.
Okay.
My point is, it was a rumor she had to address. And why was it a rumor? Because the white media don't like her having the power she had, and they got to turn her into some kind of diesel dyke.
Because she has money and power, it's all about the white man keeping the black man down, right? It's about the white man keeping the black woman down. To you it doesn't matter.
You may be gay, and that's all right with me, but you don't have no right to call her gay.
He didn't say he's gay.
I don't call anybody gay. That's freedom of speech, buddy.
Okay, listen, I appreciate it, Keith. Professor Clayton, we will talk soon. The Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, our news hour coming up next.
No, I ain't leaving now.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Oh, I thought she was a remarkably strong woman.
I've been a law-abiding citizen ever since I grew up in the Bronx, New York.
They have to have that. They're propagandists. I have to tell you
that most everybody thinks that it's over with you.
Hey, this is Charles Barkley. I'm a dumbass.
Dumb bitch.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our... Truth is our... Truth
dumb
is...
Bitch.
Thank you. A Seattle mother tries to get the book Brave New World banned in schools. Talk about your...
Dumb bitch.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell fails in the Senate. A controversial wrestling movie is at the center of a legal fight in... A controversial wrestling move is at the center of a legal fight, although they could make it a movie. Legal fight in California. Plus, a woman bites off her husband's tongue, and we'll play you the tragic 911 call. It's just vile, and it's insane, and it's probably the guy's fault. He tried to give his wife a kiss. Well, there ain't nothing wrong with a guy giving his wife a kiss, I guess, if she wants the kiss, number one. And number two, if she's not manic.
What's that mean, manic?
It means that she... Mania is a... and now they call it bipolar. You used to call it manic depressive.
Yeah, it's when people like who are mania go out and spend a lot of money and stuff.
Didn't you tell me your mother was like that?
Yeah, she was.
Well, what'd she do, man?
My mom would go and spend a lot of money, and then my dad would go, what'd you do? And she'd go, I don't know.
Your mom was bipolar, man.
Yeah.
She didn't bite your dad's tongue or anything, did she?
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, she didn't bite off my dad's tongue or anything, but she went into a May company one time with a crucifix.
A May company was, for those of you who don't know, May company was a department store here on the West Coast. She went into a May company with a crucifix.
Yeah, she went in, she's like raising up the cross going, hey, everybody, you know, like kneel down and stuff.
Wow, man. So what happened, you know?
Dude, they put her on a medication and everything, and I don't know.
Is she still with us?
Yeah, her and my dad live probably near a nut house, in case they got to get her over there.
Now, you gotta have more respect for your mother.
I got respect for my mother.
But your mom's okay?
Yeah, last I talked to her, she's okay. Probably on account of what the medicine they do.
They got a lot better medicine now, bud. You know?
Yeah, I know.
God, that's your dad, your whole family. What did you do when you found out your mom was, you know?
I was pretty young, and I said, where's mom? And they said that they packed her away. They just say they packed her away. But, you know, she came out.
They packed her away, huh?
Yeah.
Man, no wonder you're weird, man.
Why?
Your mom all with a cross and everything.
He's weird because he put his head through a tree. All right, anyway, 877-876-PHIL. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So the story we're talking about is this Wisconsin woman. Her name, Carol Luders. She bit off her husband's tongue and then started singing Christmas carols. Oh, yeah, she's all jacked up, man, this chick. It happened, apparently it happened just the other night. She made an appearance in the Sheboygan County Circuit Court where she was charged with the rarely used felony of mayhem. Mayhem is the willful and unlawful crippling or mutilation of another person. Goodness gracious. And she was ordered to undergo a mental health evaluation after she severed half of her 79-year-old William Loder's tongue, during a manic episode around 11 p.m. Monday night, according to authorities and the Sheboygan Press. The charge carries a maximum sentence of 25 years in prison. Here is now, and I suppose I should warn some of you, you might be a little bit on the queasy side about such things. We're going to listen to a couple of clips. Here is a 911 operator trying to decipher this poor man William Louder's pleas for help after his wife bit off his tongue.
Emergency dispatcher. What's the matter? What's the matter? Do you need an ambulance? Are you breathing okay? Is there anybody else there with you? If there's somebody else there with you, can you put them on the phone? Is this Willard? And you need an ambulance.
Halfway through the call, Karen Louders, who, you know, she's nuts. She's in a manic episode. She starts belting out Christmas carols.
Stand by with me. That's for those condos? Has that person been drinking?
It's like a horror movie, man.
What is that?
That's the guy with the tongue bit. It's like a freaking horror movie. See, that's weird. You know, there ain't a horror movie that they ever made that's as freaky and as disturbing as that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, what about Friday the 13th?
Friday the 13th doesn't touch that. That's reality, man. That is freaky, weird-ass, horrible reality. 57-year-old woman bites off her husband's tongue. And there's the guy on the phone. Good God almighty. And she's nuts. She's about as goofy as the March Hare, man, that chick. Anyway, the operator is struggling to decipher this poor man. They dispatch cops to the house. When police arrive, this Karen looters were still belting out holiday tunes and carrying a New Year's horn. God, man, how did he keep from just beating her to death? That's what I don't understand.
Well, what are you going to kill her for?
Biting off your tongue, that's what. I would. That's what I'd do. I'd go out there and I'd at least shut up the Christmas carols. Police had their hands full and unsure how to address the situation. They say the suspect blew her horn in an officer's ear and threw a cup of coffee at police. One officer was able to get into the home. They found William Luter still bleeding and clutching gauze after a series of yes and no questions, followed by shakes and nods from the poor man. Police were able to deduce that the woman outside was to blame. In a written statement, Luters claimed his wife went into a manic state when he kissed her while she was in the bathroom. Doctors at a nearby hospital were able to reattach his tongue and said he was in satisfactory condition. Thank goodness.
Oh, so they got to put a man's tongue back on.
Yes, they did.
Why do you do that?
They sewed it back on, man. They're able to do it now, you know. They're really advanced in this microsurgery is what they call it. They need this microsurgery to attach the blood vessels. Karen Luters is in jail in lieu of a $5,000 cash bond and will undergo a competency exam. I don't know how you keep somebody like that in jail.
Man, you just said you'd kick her ass.
I know I'd kick her ass, but it's good that Phil Hendry ain't the judge. You know?
Well, I mean, what are you saying?
What am I saying? I'm saying she's nuts, man. How do you put somebody that's nuts in jail? I mean, first thing you got to do is figure out how nuts they are. Second thing you got to do is get them on whatever medicine they're supposed to be on. And then you got to determine, can you re-release them into society? She bit this guy's tongue off. You know.
There's that guy. I sue her.
Sue her? She's your wife.
You divorce the woman or you get her medical help and then stay with her if you divorce her?
Huh?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Would you divorce her and then stay with her?
Would I divorce her and then stay with her? I think if I'm going to stay with her, I'd stay married to her.
Yeah, but what if she bites it off?
What do you mean, bites it off? Oh, yeah, ha-ha, he's pointing to it.
Oh, man. She could. Lorena Bobbitt did that.
Didn't bite it off.
Yes, she did.
No, she did not. No, she didn't. I was around. Where were you, in grade school?
Lorena Bobbitt bit it off.
No, man, she cut it off.
She cut it off with a knife. Cut it off with a knife.
Ew.
Anyway, this poor guy. Well, I'm glad to hear that the doctors were able to sew his freaking tongue back on, man.
I bet you don't talk good, though, even after that.
I don't know. I mean, how good a job do they do when they sew your tongue back on?
Probably still going to go, ugh.
All right, shut up, bud. Shut up, man, okay?
Quit making fun, man.
Shut up, I said. 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to belch. A mother finds Brave New World offensive. You know the book by Aldous Huxley, one of the great classics of our time? Yeah, it's offensive. Yeah, let's get it out of the library. Yeah, it's really bad. Really, it's really offensive. It's this, it's that, it's something else. And she tried to get it banned in her kid's school. Thank God she wasn't successful, but I'll bet you it was touch and go. We'll get into it next on The Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
In 1931, look at, I'm starting out real big here. Anyway, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman, our NewsHour. In 1931, Aldous Huxley wrote a book called Brave New World. He took the title, and I'm pulling this from Wikipedia, so, you know.
Yeah, you gotta say Wikipedia you shouldn't trust.
Well, I'm trusting Wikipedia now. He took the title of A Brave New World from Shakespeare's The Tempest. Oh, wonder how many goodly creatures are there here, how beauteous mankind is, oh, brave new world. So it was a book written by Huxley about the future, 500 years into the future, when we have reproductive technologies that are off the charts. We have sleep learning that's off the charts. We have a caste system based upon this reproductive technology. So before you're born, you are grown in a laboratory in much the same way we have, you know, in vitro fertilization. and we have petri dish fertilization. And the alphas are the most intelligent, the tallest, the best looking, and the leaders. And then you have the betas and the epsilons, all the way down to the deltas, who are like these short little, Charles just said, like little mutant little people, who are sort of like the elevator operators and the garbage men. And the book is about a guy named Bernard Marx who's an alpha, but when he was in his reproductive phase, when he was being grown as a fetus, something happened. They put the wrong alcohol in, or they put the wrong chemical in. And while he's an alpha and he's a member of this alpha class, he's shorter than the others. He's physically different than the others. And so he suddenly can identify with these lower classes, and he begins to break out of the set stereotype, the set, the paradigm that this world has been locked into. And it's about free thinking, even in a world where you have been predetermined by science that you can become a free man. And it has so much more to it. It's a great book. I read it in high school, and a great many of us probably read the Brave New World in high school. Well, guess what? Some brain surgeon in Seattle wanted to have it banned from a library because it's offensive. Now, if I sound like I'm mocking and I sound like I'm telling you, and I said this in our pre-show, we don't have a problem. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We don't have a problem with Big Brother. We ain't got no problem with the black helicopters. We don't have a problem with the men in black. We got a problem with each other, folks. I mean, I can show this news story to those of you who are looking on the video feed. Parent unsuccessful in effort to ban. That's not the government that's banning that book. That's not Obama that's banning that book. That's not anybody taking your rights away. That's some mother. That's one of us. That's one of your neighbors. That's one of the people in the PTO. A Seattle school board meeting on Wednesday night, a concerned parent dig this petition for a ban on Aldous Huxley's classic book, Brave New World. Sarah Sense Wilson is the mother of a 10th grade Native American student at Nathan Hale High School in Seattle's Lake City neighborhood. She sought to ban the book from being taught in classrooms after her daughter was offended by the reading assignment. I was outraged when I read through the book. I had to keep putting it down because it was so hurtful. It was traumatizing to read how Indian people were being depicted. Well, there you go. They don't depict white folks too good. In fact, I don't think there are any white people. They're just all made out of chemicals. The text was a high volume of racially offensive, derogatory language and misinformation on Native Americans. Well, no kidding. It's about the future. It's about a world where Native Americans are lucky that they're free. In addition to the inaccurate imagery and stereotype views, the text lacks literary value, which is relevant to today's contemporary multicultural society, she said. This is a stupid woman. And it's a stupid woman that has national news. It's a stupid woman that was on a local radio station. It's a stupid woman that was in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. And yes, it's a stupid woman that Phil Hendry's talking about nationally. The local radio station reports that Sense Wilson's daughter was also offended by the satire from 1932, specifically the way Huxley's characters talked about the savages. And the savages is what they called the Indian people. They left having an image of Indian people as being criminals. The book is about a futuristic civilization where genetically engineered people live lives of mindless consumption, contrasted with so-called savages who, among other things, give birth through biological means and read books. That's a real put-down. The petition was ultimately denied by the school board. Sense Wilson was offered an apology. An apology? And was promised that the book would be caught in a... You know, you got to sometimes just say to some people, you have no business here, sit down. Well, excuse, you have no business here, sit down and shut up. Excuse me? Yes, that's right. Excuse you. Sit down and shut up. I'm going to have your job. Well, that's fine. You can have my job. You can have my job, but I'm not going to have you stand here and talk about this book as if it's just, you know, as if it's just another book by Joan Collins, okay? So I want you to sit down and shut up and I'm opposed to the banning of any book, said Harriet Martin Morris of the school board. If we go down that road, it's the road that is a dangerous one. Do we now say we won't do Huckleberry Finn because of its portrayal of African-Americans? Do we get rid of Native Son? The list goes on and on and on and on. And he's absolutely right. And these are books that are relevant not only for what they teach us about the future and now, they teach us about the times that the book was written in. Another board member, Peter Meyer, said he reread the book recently, and it is clearly satirical. Can you imagine if the wrong people are on the school board, some brain-dead idiot reads it and says, you know, I agree with her. It really sucks. Most of the parents did not want the district to remove the book, but to make sure that if kids read the book, there's some kind of education that goes with it. I read the book, and I don't know that any education went with it. You know, when I was in high school, I read Steppenwolf. I read Siddhartha. I read Brave New World. I read Stranger in a Strange Land. I read a biography of Howard Hughes. I'm just thinking of the books that I read in high school, books that I found interesting. There wasn't an adult anywhere telling me how to read it. There wasn't a one.
Well, how did you know what they was about?
How did I know what was about?
Like the Howard Hughes book.
What do you think it's about, man?
Yeah, but he's a kid. He didn't know.
I knew it was about Howard Hughes.
How?
Because it said biography of Howard Hughes. And Brave New World.
Okay, what'd you know about that?
Hey, look it, man, you can read that book if you got any brains at all, and you know it's about the future, and it's about genetically engineered people, and it's about a guy who's a genetically engineered guy, and he's trying to bust out. And he was jealous of the so-called savages. He's looking at them through his eyes. Okay, satire? I didn't see it as a satire. I see it as a real possibility. And then the other books that I read, I didn't have anybody explaining that crap to me, you know.
Well, so it was crap, right?
No, it wasn't crap.
What's Steppenwolf?
Steppenwolf is a book that was written by Hermann Hesse.
Okay, you know what I was going to ask.
No, it has nothing to do with the group. Steppenwolf was about a guy who is a man who longs to be a bourgeois guy, but he is forever caught in the twilight world of the bohemian. He thinks abnormal thoughts, and he goes abnormal places, and he reads and feels weird things. And the book is told from the standpoint of a kid who lives in the house, or a young man who lives in the house with Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf is a boarder in his mother's house, and he wants to follow this guy, Steppenwolf, and see what he's doing. And where is he going? And he realizes he's very, very lonely. Steppenwolf is existentially cut off from the world. He's alienated. It's one of the earliest books about alienation, you know.
Well, I don't know nothing about that, but you say you don't have no adult around, and you read the Howard Hughes, but you say you know who Howard Hughes was.
Yeah, I know who Howard Hughes was. Are you crazy or something? Of course I knew who he was. I mean, I didn't understand all of the ins and the outs about it. I just thought it was interesting. I don't know why it was, but I picked up this book about Howard Hughes and read the whole damn thing. It was pretty good, you know. Didn't have anything in it about him being whacked out.
Yeah, did it say about his fingernails and everything?
No. Didn't have any of that. The most fascinating thing about Howard... What are we talking about Howard Hughes for, man? I'm talking about Brave New World.
No, what about him?
The most interesting thing about Howard Hughes for me was that at the age of 19, he got the court to declare him competent to take over his father's company, the Hughes Tool Company of Houston, at 19. So Howard Hughes got control of this company that other adult men were going to have control of. His father had passed on, and Howard Hughes went to the court, convinced them that he was competent, and he took control of the Hughes Tool Company. And from Hughes Tool came Hughes Aircraft. He owned RKO, the RKO Radio Company. Then he owned RKO Pictures, and I mean, the rest is history. And then, you know, Howard Hughes branched out into real estate. But it was that fight at the age of 19, getting a hold of Hughes Tool. That was impressive for me.
Now, who's this?
The guy you were asking me about, Howard Hughes. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up here in just a moment, Don't Ask, Don't Tell falls through the cracks, if you'll pardon the expression, in the Senate.
Phil Hendry.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Don't ask, don't tell. Fails to make it to the Senate floor. Despite Democratic efforts, Republicans on Thursday presented a vote on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, putting the repeal of a ban on gays serving openly in the military in doubt. Senate Democrats had been working to reach an agreement with Republicans to allow time to debate the broader defense authorization bill that would include the repeal of the ban. Republicans had vowed to block any vote until after resolving the unrelated issue of expiring tax cuts. All right, so in other words, is this a quid pro quo? You give us the tax cuts, and we will then talk turkey about don't ask, don't tell. Now, I did hear the four of the heads of the armed services say that they would prefer the don't ask, don't tell ban be repealed once we are not as heavily involved in combat theaters of combat operations and so forth as we are now. But I don't know that that's, you know, necessarily that that's going to tell the story, because that's what they would like. And, you know, in a perfect world. Nonetheless, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid on Thursday called for the vote that included an offer of limited debate on the authorization bill without amendments, a move that upset Senator Sue Collins, a Republican from Maine, Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, Lisa Murkowski, Republican from Alaska, and Scott Brown, a Republican from Massachusetts, whom indicated support for a repeal but not support of limited debate. The vote was 57-40, short of the 60 votes needed to advance the bill for consideration. Don't ask, don't tell is going to go away. Right now, you know, a lot of people are disappointed, but it's going to go away. But what's happening right now is there's a dance going on in Congress, and it is, okay, I'm going to do this for you, you're going to do this for me, but who gets to do what first, and how's it going to go? So it ain't dead by a law. And as a matter of fact, don't ask, don't tell is gone. The actual policy will be voted down. But as to when, it's only going to get voted down once Republicans, who are the Republicans that oppose it, and there's Republicans that support the repeal, but Republicans that oppose the repeal are get what they want first, and then they essentially change their mind on don't ask, don't tell. And that has to do with the repeal or putting the repeal of these tax cuts, or the ending of these tax cuts, not ending the tax cuts. See what I'm saying? The tax cuts are important to Republicans. Don't ask, don't tell, mostly important to Democrats, although there's a bunch of guys in the middle, and they won't have one until they get the other, is what I'm saying.
Which one?
They won't have don't ask, don't tell until they get their tax cuts extended, is what I'm saying, okay?
Yeah, well, you got to spit it out, man.
That's what I was doing here. Let's listen to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid speak on the Senate floor before procedural vote on the defense authorization bill, which included a repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Discrimination has never served America very well. When it applies to those who serve America in the armed forces, it's both disgraceful and counterproductive. We tried every possible way to move forward on this. And when they refuse to debate it, they also hold up the other many good, important, and urgent needed parts of the bill. They want to block a vote on this issue at all costs, even if it means we do not pass a defense authorization bill for the first time in 48 years. And even if it means our troops don't get the funding and the protections they need. It doesn't matter what I do. Before we get to the end of it, they've changed the rules again.
All right, so he's all pissed off. So they're going to get it worked out. Don't worry. All right, here are the TV ratings from, I'm just not sweating it, you know, here are the TV ratings now from last night as they are reported to us from ZapToIt.com. 8 o'clock hour, CBS kicking ass with Survivor Nicaragua. In second place, ABC The Middle. In third place was NBC's Sing-Off, Human Target on Fox, and the CW special, The Victoria's Secret Fashion Show, wiping up the rear. 9 p.m., CBS kicking ass again. How many nights in a row has CBS been winning, man? They've averaged 12.3 viewers for the night last night, beating second place NBC by more than 5 million viewers. ABC came in third, as we mentioned. But it seems like every night CBS now is just taking, you know, they're taking everybody down. 9 o'clock, it was CBS with Criminal Minds. Boy, that's a lousy show. ABC, Modern Family, and Cougar Town. And
that show's bitching.
Yeah, huh? Anyway.
It is.
It sucks. Anyway, NBC, The Sing-Off, Fox's Hell's Kitchen is in fourth place, and CW, Fashion Forward, making it 10 o'clock hour, the Defenders on CBS, NBC's Law & Order, SVU, and Modern Family in third place, a rerun. But CBS winning by at least 4 million or 3 to 4 million votes every single time. Now, here's a story that I think is like so bizarre, and I happen to know the guy that insures this house, my brother-in-law.
You're kidding me, man.
Listen to this story in Escondido, California. Now, the guy that owns the house is the guy that had my brother-in-law insure it. But the guy that's got the bombs, this is a guy renting it.
Oh, so it's not the guy that owns the house that had a bomb.
No, he rented this house to this jackass, George Jakubek. There were so many explosive chemicals littering a California house that bomb technicians have set the alleged bomb factory of George Jakubek ablaze rather than try to remove the material. Jakubek, an unemployed software engineer, faces federal charges of bank robbery and bomb making after the discovery late last month of what may be the largest cache of homemade explosives ever assembled in the United States. On Thursday, authorities closed Interstate 15 and evacuated a neighborhood before setting Jakubek's rented Escondido house on fire just after 11 a.m. local time. You want to be the guy that owns the house?
Man, you're going to come home and see your house on fire.
Well, I'm sure the guy found out before that. You know your house? Yeah, they're going to burn it down. You rented to the wrong guy, man. To protect nearby houses from the flames, firefighters had surrounded the home with a 16-foot-tall drywall fence and then smeared the barrier with fire gel before igniting the fire by remote control. The fire was expected to last 4 hours. Jakubek's lawyer had asked the judge to stop the demolition of the house so the defendant could retrieve papers, journals, and other items in the house that may help him prove his intent or his mental state. What? A judge ruled that the destruction could move forward, however, after an FBI bomb technician testified that Jakubek's backyard was a minefield and that a bomb tech walking in the yard had stepped on something that made a loud pop and burned the bottom of his shoe. And I believe, yeah, here it is. The explosive cache was discovered on November the 18th when another man literally stumbled over it, though with more serious consequences. Gardener Mario Garcia stepped on something in Jakubek's yard and triggered an explosion that injured his eye, arm, and chest.
Well, that's why they won't do it.
Exactly. The place is booby-trapped, man. It's booby-trapped. This guy's you talk about a mental case. This cat had his backyard was a minefield. When federal and local officials came to investigate, they found 8 pounds of the homemade explosive HMTD buried in the yard and more HMTD inside the one. Why don't you guys look up what HMTD is, man? Is that a plastic or something? Or HMTD buried inside the one-story wooden home north of San Diego. They also say they found 9 detonators and 13 unfilled homemade grenades with attached shrapnel. San Diego County Deputy D.A. Terry Perez called the discovery a bomb factory and said it was the largest quantity of these types of homemade explosives at one place in U.S. history. He had the makings of a bomb lab, said Perez. He had precursors to making these explosives. He had detonators. He had grenades. And so essentially he could make these destructive devices and had completed several of them. I wonder if you think this guy was just a bomb nut?
Well, yeah, a bomb nut, man.
Here's the thing.
Okay, thanks, bud. Hexamethylene tripercots, whatever, HMTD, is a high-explosive organic compound. Does that mean it's a fertilizer bomb?
What are you talking about?
Is it when they say it's an organic compound, I just wondered. Hexamethylene, triperoxide, diamine. Hexamethylene, triperoxide, diamine. That is HMTD, an organic compound, a high explosive organic compound. Federal authorities said the HMTD discovered had the explosive power of several of the devices used in the London subway bombing of 2005, which killed 52 people. Explosives experts found the HMTD in jars and buried them in the ground to detonate them, closing the southbound lanes of Interstate 15 for about 3 hours for motorist safety. Good God. You got to evacuate the whole neighborhood. Is that what it said?
Yeah, I think they had to tell everybody to get out. Told everybody to get lost.
Yeah, I'm sure that's how they said it, bud.
Yeah, so you get lost.
Yeah, hey, all of you people, get lost. Because we're about to blow your neighborhood up. Authorities also allege they found PETN, the powder explosive used in the recent cargo bombing plot by the failed shoe bomber in 2001, and allegedly by Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab in the unsuccessful attempt to bring down Northwest Flight 253 with an underwear bomb last Christmas. So this jackass has got bomb-making material for every occasion, man. Jakubek's wife, Marina, from whom he had recently separated, told the San Diego Union-Tribune that her Serbian-born husband had lost his job 3 years ago, and she believes had become unbalanced. "I'm afraid for my husband's mental state," she said. "He's not well." Well, ain't that too bad. She told the paper that Jakubek had allegedly purchased chemicals and electronics with money she had earned, but she did not know what it was for. According to court records, Jakubek was on probation after pleading guilty to shoplifting at an electronics store last year. Jakubek pled not guilty to 26 state charges, but the state dropped its charges when the U.S. attorney launched a federal prosecution. Thank you.
Yeah, they dropped the charges.
No, they dropped the state charges, man. Now the federals are going to have him. Okay, much, much better. By the way, HMTD's appearance is a white crystalline solid. It looks much like the sugar or white powder. Isn't that what they, why does that bring, why am I thinking one of those bomb plots had something like that? Anyway, so the federals, so the state of California dropped its charges when the federals came on and said, "We'll take it from here." Jakubek now faces three bank robbery and one attempted bank robbery charges, as well as charges of possession and manufacturing of explosives. He allegedly stole $54,000 in the robberies. He pled not guilty to the eight federal charges on Monday, naturally. He's a screwball. And I'll tell you what, this is a beautiful thing that they caught this nut, because God knows what was going to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, this guy's going to get caught anyway, because he got stuff laying around in the yard.
Well, the fact that they had a gardener walking through there, was this guy an idiot? He must have been. He's got to be some kind of a wacko. He's got the gardener walking through there. He must know he's got a gardener coming once a week to mow the lawn or do whatever the hell he's doing. And meanwhile, this guy's got a minefield in the backyard. And this poor gardener, what happened to him?
Said it blew up and everything, but the gardener's okay. It could have blown it. Could have blown his head off.
Yeah, it could have, man. It said it injured his arm, his eye, his chest. I don't know. All right, porn pioneer John Leslie dies at 65. We'll have the specifics for you on that. And a 17-year-old wrestler is in a legal fight for performing a butt drag. This is a story that Jason Rantz, our producer, really wants us to do. So we'll do it when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And yeah, welcome back. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And starting this weekend, we're going to have, for you, we're going to be opening up sales in our merchandise store, selling our classic series of CDs, the best of 97 through 2005. We have some available that are still in the wrappers, man. They're brand new. I mean, it's got the original artwork and everything. So kind of a cool gift for a Phil Hendry fan in your life for Christmas. John Leslie, an award-winning adult film actor and director who appeared in more than 300 movies during porn's so-called golden age in the 1970s and the 1980s, has died, his friend said on Thursday. He was 65. Leslie, whose real name...
Go on.
Is this
Mr. Hall?
Oh, get out of here with the Mr. Hall.
Yeah, call up.
Leslie, whose real name was John, you know, I need to speak to him.
All right. Mr. Hall? Yeah. Yeah, he's being a pain in the ass.
Excuse me? Give me that. David?
What's going on?
What is this, man?
Are you doing a story about the guy? All I know is Bud said some guy that was in stag movies.
What do you mean stag movies? You mean adult films?
Well, Bud said some stag movie guy.
Let's have some respect.
You hung up on Mr. Hall again. That's the third time this week. And
get out of here and get this phone out of here, too. And get that record out of here. John Leslie, third time this week. You better believe it. And what is with stag film?
I thought that's what it was called.
No, man, that's what it was called in the 1950s, maybe. John Leslie, an award-winning adult film actor and director who appeared in... The man's passed on, huh? Little respect? Anyway, an award-winning film director who starred in some 300 films, John Leslie had been a... Leslie's real name was John Nuzzo, who began acting in porn movies in the 1970s in San Francisco. He went on to become one of the first actors to successfully direct, which he did until his death on Sunday of an apparent heart attack in his Mill Valley, California home. He appeared in such titles as Cry for Cindy and Talk Dirty to Me, the 1980 film that solidified his status as well. I just feel like I need to give it more of a...
Yeah, give me kind of a dignified read.
Yeah. He went on to appear in such films as Talk Dirty to Me, the 1980 film that solidified his status as one of porn's leading men. Mark Kearns, who as a senior editor of the adult film publication AVN, knew Leslie well, said Leslie was one of the first actors to cross over to directing, which he did well at because of an artistic eye for detail and talent for handling actors. And don't laugh, okay?
Yeah, but he handled them.
You know what? Grow up and get out of here. A lot of people really wanted to work with him because he took a lot of pride in his work and he paid attention to detail, said Kearns, who confirmed Leslie's death. And being an actor at heart, he was more disposed to letting the performers take the lead in terms of the executing of the scenes, and the performers liked that. Leslie's success as a porn actor started in the early 1970s, seen as the beginning of the industry's golden age when plot-driven, feature-length adult movies like Deep Throat and Behind the Green Door achieved mainstream success. That era ended with the AIDS crisis of the 80s. And, you know, the thing of it is up until then, they did have, like, stag movies, black and white, 3-, 5-, 10-minute movies of, you know, what have you. So along comes cats like John Leslie and Deep Throat. And I think those movies made it okay for the middle class to watch porn, you know?
Well, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I know I'm speaking well beyond, but I think it made it okay for middle class people to go, oh, wow, let me go watch some porn, because it wasn't any longer about going to the Pussycat Theater and sitting on some sticky seats, you know.
Oh, man.
Well, that's what I'm, you know, what it was. So, so once it became okay for the middle class, then the middle class began to look into porn more deeply, and they found out that it really was a lot more than, you know, Deep Throat and movies with plots. So it's kind of returned to this, to, it hasn't returned to the stag model, because I know that, you know, they're still doing this kind of thing, but let's face it, what makes money? All right. Leslie won pornography industry awards for acting and directing. He was inducted to the Legends of Erotica Hall of Fame in Las Vegas. He was 65 years of age. He is survived by his wife of 23 years, Kathleen John Leslie. And finally, this is the story here, man. The pending trial of a former Buchanan High wrestler charged with a sex crime, has many in the community of Fresno alarmed about the sport's already fragile future. Now, what was the sex crime? Well, the sex crime is a move called the butt drag. That's right. In wrestling, when done legally and with proper technique, the butt drag requires a wrestler to intensely grab his opponent's butt cheek to obtain leverage and better positioning. However, some people believe that, you know, not some people believe, but because it means you have to intensely grab, sometimes your hand slips and there is anal penetration with the fingers.
Oh, man, that's a wrestling move?
That's not the way it's supposed to be done. Sometimes the hand slips. Well, that's what happened in this competition, and now Preston Hill, a former Buchanan High senior, has since been expelled, faces a sexual battery charge after police say he rammed two fingers into a teammate's anus during a wrestling practice last summer. I don't understand. Some coaches said that what Hill allegedly did is not a wrestling move and certainly not one that's legal, but it does happen. We don't instruct our guys to do that, but if your hand slips, it's perverted, said Paul Kesa, the Fresno City coach. He said it is used often in wrestling. He says that anal penetration does occur on occasion. Good God Almighty. Why don't you guys get with it and teach the game, the sport of wrestling, in a manner whereby none of that is even possible. You outlaw that move. You understand? You outlaw all kinds of moves. Outlaw that. That way there's no mistaking. The hell is wrong with you people? All right. Phil Hendry Show is produced by... what is wrong with them? You know, there's less wrong with them than with me. Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Charles Wygan, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is online at philhendryshow.com, where you can see live streaming video of the show and get thousands of hours of downloads. Get a BSP today. Later.
Phil Hendry.